So in another part of Scripture, it says, if you want to receive the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, you have to receive it like a little child. And so it's important for us to look to the children because they have this powerful way of being able to focus on the things that us adults walk over or even step on. And they actually really get to the essential things. So if you want to learn how to follow Jesus, you have to look at how a child follows Jesus. And this passage, the passage of the Good Shepherd, throughout all cultures, as children are encountering this parable, it is one that they stay with, they enjoy, they delight in, and it's something that they can't get enough of. It's this very mysterious thing. Of all the parables that are out there, the mustard seed is another one, several other ones, but this one particular. And there is a whole catechesis that comes out of this powerful truth that in this mysterious way, the image of the Good Shepherd is the one that shares with little children 3 years old to 6 years old, the face of God that they need in that moment. Because as we grow, there are certain stages in our own development, and we have to, in a sense, be fed certain kinds of food, or else we're going to be missing something. I remember working in the inner city in Washington, D.C., and I remember these little three-year-olds that would be out on the streets, and they would have a Snickers bar and a Coca-Cola. And you could tell how hungry they were. And they were just eating the sugar, and it wasn't really nourishing them. They were getting tired and more exhausted. And just like a little newborn baby, you don't feed them a hamburger. They can't take it. Hamburgers later, that will be very, very good for them, but they need their mother's milk. And so at the very beginning stages of a child's learning of the faith, which a lot of times, sadly, we sort of start at the age of reason, at after 6 years old, and yet they've already formed, for better or for worse, an encounter or a lack of encounter with the God that wants them to get to know him. And so a little child needs, and it's the beginning stages of our whole formation in the moral life, is to be soaked with unconditional love, to be loved, to be known, to be seen, even before a little child even has really a concept of right or wrong. When they're so little, they just want to be held. They want to be soaked with a love that no one in this world can match. They have that kind of hunger, and it's more necessary for them than even food, than even milk. They need love. And so this Good Shepherd image that children come to encounter, a shepherd who holds them, cares for them, feeds them, keeps them safe in his sheepfold, that becomes something that they become so nourished with. And if they start with that, because a little child, if you think of even developmental psychology, I used to work with preschoolers, so this is something very dear to my heart. Children, they absorb their environment. If they hear things, they will then act them out as though they were their own. I remember my little tiny niece who came up to me, and she goes, "Don't test me." And she's like two or three or something like that. And I looked at my sister-in-law. She's like, "Yeah, she's a mini me." They absorb their environment, kind of like how they learn a language. Think about, did you go to class to learn your primary language. You soaked it in. And you even took on the accent. One of my other little nephews, he was born in New Zealand. And so he used to have this beautiful New Zealand accent. And he would go, cheers. And he'd go, yes, mom, I'd love some tea. And it was something that he didn't train for, but he just soaked it in. So in our faith life, we soak in our environment. And if we're put in the right conditions, such as these parables that have this powerful way of the Holy Spirit meeting the needs of a little child, they start to absorb that image of the Good Shepherd in such a way that he's not just on the outside, but they know, they encounter him, they experience him very much a part of their own language. And so as they start growing after the age of reason, which is where a lot of times traditional catechesis we start, but we forget this whole other time, if they've been soaked during that time before the age of reason, then they have a much deeper experience of the moral life, of the Ten Commandments, of all of these things, the beautiful doctrines of our church. And they don't seem like they're things that are outside, that are just imposing on our free will, but because they've enjoyed and they've delighted in the arms of the shepherd, they've nestled next to his heart, then when they hear the Ten Commandments and they realize, oh, these commandments are helping me not to go outside of the sheepfold. Why would I want to go out there? And they also experience when they do fall, they have been so anchored in the unconditional love of the Good Shepherd that they know to be like Saint Therese, who said, if I were to commit even one mortal sin, I wouldn't run away from the Lord, but I would actually run even faster and jump into his arms, because that's where I'm going to find all that my heart has been looking for. The whole moral life, we're all desiring happiness. We're all desiring ultimately communion with God. And yet, if we don't have that foundation first, even if you look not even just spiritually, but even in developmental psychology, Erik Erikson, who actually used to work down the street apparently, he talks about the first stage that a child needs to encounter and really accomplish is trust. And if there isn't trust first, if there are things that are happening in those early, early years of development, then that wound will be there as they keep trying to grow. It still stays there and becomes a lens in which they see the rest of life, even as adults. If we don't grow in the fundamental need of being able to unconditionally trust in the love that God has for us, then how do we start looking at our faith? We start seeing the Lord as someone out there who I have to make deals with. We call this magical prayer, where it's like, okay, I need to do something, I need to say something, and then somehow he's going to get on my good side, and then I'll get what I want. But I have to sort of be careful that I don't get on his bad side, because then he's going to turn away from me and he won't really like me anymore. And a lot of times that's how we live our faith. We have this insecurity deep within our heart. Does he really love me? Is he just putting up with me? And am I merely just doing stuff to try to get his favor? That is a wounded relationship. And so, for children, we need to help them discover from the beginning how to soak in that truth, because it will help them throughout all of the rest of their faith formation days and even into adulthood. So this is why the catechesis of the Good Shepherd is such a powerful tool for evangelization because it's teaching the faith, not just knowing things about God, and a lot of our catechetical methods from the past, they're based on kind of 18th century, 19th century pedagogical ways of doing things that focused on the cognitive dimension. We need to, as long as we know things about God, then that's all that we need. Everything else will follow. But have you ever noticed there's a crisis within our faith and even within our faith formation in which we have many people that, even going to Catholic schools, knowing lots of things about the faith, but maybe haven't actually met Him. It's something for us to really think about, and for all those that are also watching live stream, think about within your parish. We are missing the first stage of faith formation, which actually happens from birth, even in the womb. Actually, a Jewish understanding of teaching the faith was that the mother would sing lullabies of the Psalms to their children in the womb. That's a powerful meditation, to think about the Blessed Mother, what her voice must have sounded like, singing about the Savior who would come, to the Savior who would come. So that's a whole nother mind-blowing experience. Meditate on that in the rosary sometime, and let the Blessed Mother bring you into her womb and sing to you these beautiful hymns of praise. But we're missing that first stage. And so I encourage you to learn about this particular kind of catechesis, which is what we call kerygmatic. It's proclaiming the gospel at the stage that they're supposed to receive it in, so that they receive it. They have wonder, they enjoy, they delight in it. They're so excited about this God that loves them unconditionally, and it anchors them for the rest of their life, so that when they stray, they actually have an encountered experience of what God did in their life. And it's not merely just head knowledge, but it's in the bones, in the soul. And they can run back to the Good Shepherd who always feeds them and is never the wolf. The Lord says at the beginning of this passage, before the part that we read, I came so that they might have life and have it abundantly. And that's what the Lord desires for each of us. He doesn't want to just give us the bare minimum. He's not just saying, okay, I'm just going to give you enough to get by. He's like, I have so much for you, but you're approaching me in a business sort of way. And actually, I'm this prodigal father that just wants to lavish and waste my love upon you, just douse you in this love. Hear the second reading today. See what love the Father has bestowed on us, that we are called children of God. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children. We're His little ones. We're His sheep. And the Lord is calling us to discover that afresh. Now, we might say to ourselves, well, that's all great, fine, and dandy for little kids who have that opportunity to be able to soak in their absorbent mind. They take in their environment, and so they can really take this truth in a way of learning their first language. That's easy. It's spontaneous. But what about all of us who've sort of learned another language, and maybe it's not the full language of God's love? Maybe it's a mix and a brokenness there, and maybe a language of fear. What about us? Are we sort of like, all right, well, we're not kids, so too bad. This is something I was just praying about this morning. God has given us, for us adults, another image like the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd has this powerful way of working with little children because it's built even with their psychology, with their spirituality, with all of that. But where has the Lord given us adults who've learned a broken language, who still need to go back to that original foundation place to find healing in order for the rest of our moral life and our faith to be able to grow. Where do we find that image? The image of divine mercy. For us adults, we are not beyond hope, because the Lord in this image is giving us the same opportunity to come to the heart of our faith, the heart of mercy, because it's there that we discover the one who comes in search of us, who comes into our darkness and brings light. He's the one that reminds us of his heart, saying, "Here is where I profess to you my unconditional love for you. And if it's difficult to believe my words, then behold my wounds, and behold the blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us." And that's why this image also has the image of blessing, because we're seeing the true face of the Father of Mercy, the face that we needed to receive early on in life, but maybe through different experiences, we have a skewed face of the image of the Father. And so Jesus is coming after us to say, "Behold the face of the Good Shepherd, because you are still my children, and I want to bring you home." And the Lord ultimately wants to bring us through that blood and water right next to the heart of Jesus, so that by his wounds we might be healed. By his wounds we might discover that area that has been deprived in our life, the trust area. The area in which all of the rest of our faith life we're stumbling and we're stuttering because we never fully receive the milk of trust. And so the Lord is coming to us now, and comes because this image is a blueprint of who we receive in the Eucharist. And so as you receive the Eucharist and you encounter the unconditional love of God for you, the Good Shepherd that is feeding you this milk of trust, ask the Lord to help you to respond with trust, with love, and say, "Lord, heal my heart from the inside out. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you."
Are you a Marian helper? Join our Spiritual Benefit Society and start sharing in the graces of all the daily masses, prayers, and good works of Marian priests and brothers all over the world. Sign up is free and easy. Simply visit micprayers.org. That's micprayers.org. Thank you, and God bless you. Please follow or subscribe to this podcast to receive the latest episodes and updates. If you have been blessed by this podcast, I invite you to leave a review. Reviews greatly improve our podcast ranking and will help spread this podcast to other people throughout the world. Are you enjoying this podcast? I invite you to listen to more shows brought to you by the Marian Fathers of the Immaculate Conception. Join us daily for enriching spiritual content, which will help you on your journey with Jesus Christ. Simply visit DivineMercyPlus.org for a complete list of our shows. That's DivineMercyPlus.org. Are you a Marian helper? Join our Spiritual Benefit Society and start sharing in the graces of all the daily masses, prayers, and good works of Marian priests and brothers all over the world. Sign up is free and easy. Simply visit micprayers.org. That's micprayers.org. Thank you, and God bless you.